We come now to outcome 5.4. But because this recording would have been very short if we only did 5.4, we will add 5.5, part 1. Describe how their denomination or church movement began. Currently, there are over 40,000 denominations worldwide. This makes it impossible for us to provide a summary for facilitators of how each denomination or church movement began. So, in this outcome, students are to do the research for their own church and come up with a short statement. They should interview their leaders, especially the pastor, read any documents that may exist, for example, minutes of meetings, notices of events, etc., if any of these are available. For larger denominations, it will obviously be easier, as much of that work could already have been done, but you will need to be sympathetic to the fact that with smaller or newer churches, that may not be easy. Let's turn now to outcome 5.5, part 1. Explain the biblical basis for stewardship, giving, and offerings. According to Ram Gudumal in his article Kingdom Stewardship, some groups think stewardship is tithing. Others think stewardship means volunteering or living a simple lifestyle. Still others identify stewardship with environmental conservation, social action, charitable giving, or the making of disciples through evangelism. Each of these good and necessary activities points to an essential facet of stewardship, but each on its own falls short of capturing the inspiring vision of biblical stewardship as a form of whole life discipleship that embraces every legitimate vocation and calling to fulfill God's mission in the world. One reason they fall short, he says, is because the evangelical church has used the term only to focus on raising funds for the church and for mission. A second is that evangelicals often separate the sacred from the secular and don't see them as a whole. The aim of the Lausanne movement is to present the whole gospel to the whole world. The author of the article says, at its most basic level, biblical stewardship is holistic and missional, touching every area of life and employing every legitimate vocation in service to Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn of all creation and the head of the church. That's from Colossians 1:15-20. He says that stewardship is a central theme throughout the Bible. But what is it exactly? The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines it as, quote, the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Gudumal says that in the New Testament, the word is used principally to mean the management or administration of the property of others. Matthew 20:8, Luke 12:42, and Luke 16:2. Examples would be the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:4-30, and the parable of the dishonest manager, Luke 16:1-3. But in Paul's letters, it is given its fullest and widest significance. It is used for Paul's responsibility of preaching the gospel, the stewardship committed to Paul to fulfill the divine plan and purpose relative to the church, which is the body of Christ. God is the master of a great household or cosmos and is wisely administering his rule over it. This he is doing through the person of his son Jesus Christ, who has in turn commissioned his human stewards, Genesis 1:28-30, to manage the Father's household through the animating power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, our Christian responsibility goes beyond just giving money to the church and to missions, which of course we must, but extends to fulfilling God's mission in creation and redemption. Each of us is a steward of God's creation and design for every area of life. The author says we do not choose to be managers of God's resources. God has already entrusted his resources to us. Yes, we are responsible for financial, environmental, and corporate stewardship, but we are doing it on behalf of God. He has entrusted these things to us to manage. We will continue this discussion next week.